Hello, Malcolm here. Thanks for joining me on my podcast. This is the weekly summary on the 13th of July, 2019. This is the podcast version of my newsletter. And by the way, if you don't get my newsletter, then go to my website and you can sign up and get all the goodies. That's W's and then malcolmcox.org. And there you'll find a sign-up form, and sign up there and I'll send you a weekly newsletter with a summary of all my posts, podcasts, YouTube, writings and so on. I've done a few extra bits as well. And this is the podcast version, and I've got a few things I want to share with you today, and a question and a prayer request that I hope you might be able to help me with. This week, I don't know where you are, but here in the UK, it's been hot. It's been hot quite a few nights, and the windows must remain open at night. Otherwise, it gets far too stuffy, and we don't have aircon. Well, my sleep was rudely disturbed by a barking dog a few nights ago. I looked at the clock. It said 4:41 a.m. I must admit to having something of an evil thought towards that dog. It didn't involve its well-being. A few nights later, a pneumatic drill shattered the night's peace. I think that was about 1 in the morning. Now, both the dog and the new pneumatic drill barking and drilling in the night were both equally disturbing. They woke me up, woke Penny, my wife, up, woke up the neighbours because they went out to have a look too. They both were disturbing, but for very different purposes. Now, I don't know why the dog was barking, nor why it was outside, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't a life or death situation. The van loads of men, the arc lights and the pneumatic drills were deployed to stop a gas leak. A rather more serious scenario. Neither event exactly pleased me, and both disturbed me, but I felt very differently towards the gas men compared to the dog and its owner. It's been said that good preaching disturbs the comfortable and comforts the disturbed, and there are many versions of that saying. And in fact, I don't think it was originally attributed to Christianity. It might go back to something to do with journalism, but it certainly fits for the message of the gospel. But then again, the goal isn't to disturb people or to be disturbed. But the message is disturbing, and let's face it, you and I need to be disturbed every now and again. The trick is to notice when you're being disturbed for a good reason. What's really going on here? What is God trying to achieve when we're being disturbed? We've been preaching through the book of Acts in the Watford Church of Christ for a year and a half now, and we're still only in finishing chapter 14, I suspect we'll still be going in 2020. It's been great, very refreshing. Well, this Sunday, we come to the end of what's often known as the first missionary journey. That's Paul and Barnabas on their first journey. And I'm going to be summarizing the key lessons from chapters 13 and 14 on Sunday. The title is What Happens When You Go With God? And I have a little subtitle, Undiminished Enthusiasm for the Things of God. Now, Barnabas and Paul disturbed people everywhere they went, and they in turn were disturbed. The message they brought disrupted the religious comfortability of Jewish hearers, Gentile hearers, pagan hearers. And in turn, Paul and Barnabas experienced opposition by people questioning their identity and motives, poisoning the minds of their listeners, and persecuting them to the point of not only plotting, but indeed ultimately stoning Paul. Why did this happen? Doesn't sound like it was all good, but it was the Spirit who sent them. Going back to the beginning of Acts 13, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. And whenever the Spirit sends, disturbance follows fast. I've just started a teaching series on the Holy Spirit called By the Spirit for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ, and our first class is based on Romans 8. You'll get the links to this in next week's newsletter, but you can look up the first class on my website and the YouTube channel and the podcast feed if you want it in advance. Now, we learn a lot of things in Romans 8 about the wonderful things that the Spirit has brought us into, specifically a relationship with God, which causes us to cry, Abba, Father. But also, we learn about the reality of groaning, that crying, that groaning, the groaning of creation in verse 22, our own groaning in verse 23, and the groaning of the Spirit in verse 26. There's a lot of groaning. Hopefully not so too much moaning, but there's a lot of groaning in life, in this world, and even in the spiritual realm. Disturbance is part of what it means to be someone with faith, someone with a relationship with God. And I wonder, are you being disturbed right now? Is it God doing the disturbing? That's the big question, isn't it? Is it God? Is it God doing the disturbing, or is it your own folly? Or is it simply an annoying barking dog, something of no real consequence? Or is it the smell of something dangerous? What's disturbing you? What can God make of it is the ultimate question. Amongst this week's podcasts and videos that you'll find on my website and in the newsletter, I tell of a disturbing experience on the back of a horse, the disturbance of using an illustration and the congregation not reacting as expected, the disturbance of the New Testament kiss of love, and the disturbing thought that what we eat and drink might have a deleterious or positive effect on our relationship with God. So please join me this week in celebrating the disturbances which God brings into our lives. Let's rejoice when he releases our creativity by these disturbances and provides us with opportunities to grow. Because we know that in all of the disturbances of life, God's love for us is not disturbed, nor is our status with him as a dearly loved child. Rather, all of God's disturbances are allowed or caused so that we might grow up into Christ, that we may be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8, verse 29. Now, a couple of other things to mention. Firstly, a prayer request that I put in last week, but I'm going to ask you to keep praying, please, for me and my family. We're helping our daughter Lydia get ready for her wedding on the 17th of August. It's a very exciting time, but there's an awful lot to do. And my wife and I want to be the best parents we can be for her at this time to help, and her fiancé, and to get to know his family as well, based down in Bristol. So please pray for us practically, but also spiritually, to be in the right place, spiritually, just to celebrate and to be who we need to be for the people around us. Now, also, I have something I'd like your feedback on. I've had a few ideas recently, and something new came to my mind based on something Ian Moley mentioned. So this is about something called A Month of Sundays. Now, I was reminded about this recently because this is an idea for a book, and I had this years ago. I didn't get on with it, didn't do anything with it. So the title of the book is A Month of Sundays. And the motivation for writing the book is the anecdotal evidence I have that when I talk to Christians about which day of the week is you find having a quiet time the hardest, which one do you skip most often, it seems to be Sunday morning. And that's a bit of a shame, considering that most of us have more flexibility on Sunday mornings than the rest of the week. But also, perhaps even more crucially, it's a shame because we're never going to get what we could out of corporate worship, that corporate worship experience, that communal worshiping experience, if we don't have the right perspective going into it. And surely God can help us with this. I wonder if sometimes our services don't have the impact they could, not because the content isn't adequate, but because, personally and collectively, we've not devoted ourselves to God in preparation for the splendor and the power of the collective worship experience. So I'm wondering whether we could do something about that by having a book like this. Now, the book, as I have conceived it, would follow this sort of format. There would be 31 chapters, as in a month of chapters, one for 31 days. You have 31 days of chapters, And then they'd be used once a week on a Sunday. So 31 Sundays is what you're getting, hence the title, A Month of Sundays. And they'd be used only on Sundays, just Sunday morning. And each one, each devotional small chapter, would be focused on helping the reader to prepare to participate in corporate worship. So it would be very focused on helping us to be in the right place spiritually, having the right mind and heart, to then go and join the rest of our spiritual family to worship God together. That's the idea. So I'd love to know what you think about this concept and any refinements you'd add to it. I'd be particularly interested to know if you believe this would meet a need or whether I'm just barking up the wrong tree. You know, if this is only going to be useful for three or four people, I'm not going to write a book. But if you think it's something a congregation could use or a group could use that would meet a need, I would love to know. Truth be known, I already have a lot of material. I probably have enough for a book. It would just need, well, I'd need a lot of editing. But I think I already have enough material, because I would also need a publisher, but that's another story. But before I go down that road, I want to find out whether you think it would meet a need. Well, thanks a lot for listening this far and encouraging me in my endeavours to support our times of quiet with God and support our corporate worship experiences and the effectiveness of our preaching and teaching. If you know anyone who might enjoy these materials, please send them a link to my website, malcolmcox.org. Encourage them to sign up for the newsletter, and they'll get the newsletter, they'll get access to the podcast, they'll get hopefully a lot of useful materials, videos, podcasts, and blogs. And if any of you have material you'd like me to feature, any questions about the Bible, corporate worship, times of quiet with God, then please pass your questions on to me, and I'll do my best to answer them. Thanks a lot. Take care, and God bless.